heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you not only to defend the historic Christian faith, but to become a winsome witness to a spiritually hungry but skeptical world, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. You get the number to dial to get your questions answered live on today's broadcast. As just mentioned, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information is always on the web. We're at equip.org and via the mail at box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Our resource consultants as well are standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. We will be going to your calls in just a moment. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. But I want to say just a couple of words about today's International Women's Day 2017. And I don't want to talk about Nancy Pelosi or Gloria Steinem or the organizers of A Day Without a Woman, a Stalinist professor, a supporter of the Black Panthers, a Maoist, a convicted terrorist. I want to take this in a very positive direction. And so I thought it would be well to concentrate our thoughts for just a moment on the greatest woman of all time. Now, there were many great women lauded in Scripture. In fact, Scripture elevates women. You think about Esther or Miriam or Ruth or Rahab or Priscilla, and the list goes on. But the apex of all of humanity, the model for all that we are to become in Christ, is a woman named Mary. While Islam venerates Muhammad, Christianity venerates Mary. We don't worship her. Worship is due God alone. But we honor Mary as the one chosen out of all generations to become, well, the mother of our Lord, as Luke puts it. The first to receive Jesus into the fabric of her being. The one person that all generations of humanity are to regard as blessed. The first woman, Eve, of course, was deceived. The second, Eve, conceived. And in the words of Saint Irenaeus, who was the Bishop of Lyon, untied the knot of disobedience through obedience and so became a cause of salvation for herself and likewise for the whole of the human race. I love what Tertullian said, the early church father from the third century. He said, "For into Eve, when she was yet a virgin, had crept the word that established death. Likewise, into a virgin was to be brought the word of God that produced life, so that what had gone to ruin by the one sex might be restored to salvation by the same sex." Martin Luther proclaimed Mary the highest woman, the noblest gem in Christianity. As a mortal in the likeness of all humanity, Mary, of course, bore a fallen nature. A fallen nature that can only be transformed by Christ. Likewise, she was subject to death that only Christ could conquer. Her glory, however, is that she gave herself completely to the will of God. That, of course, does not mean that she was immune to sin, but that her communion with Christ is the very apex to which all true believers seek to rise. So as we are engulfed in International Women's Day 2017, I thought it well for us to fix our eyes on Theotokos, the God-bearer, the apex of humanity, as she fixed her gaze on Theanthropus, the God-man, the second Adam, who alone is the personification of perfection. Mary is the quintessential woman, the model of Adam's fallen race. And when we have the quote of the day later on in the third segment, I'm going to quote something that I think you'll find very, very interesting in this regard. In the meantime, we have questions coming in from all over the country, all over the world. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. First up today, Joy listening in Kansas on Butt Radio. Hi, Joy.
Yes, sir. This is Joy.
And your question, Joy.
Yes, sir. I have a question. A gentleman that I have a Bible study with asked me, and I looked for something in reference to it, and I couldn't find anything, but it was the Bible verse, which is Matthew 27:51-53, and it speaks about when the thick temple curtain rips in half, and the graves open, and dead bodies resurrect, walking about the city, and his question was, what happened to those people, and did they die a second death?
Well, they would have been an anomaly. They would have been a non-normative set of people, an event that looked forward to something. Ultimately, the earnest of all who are resurrected. So every single person will ultimately be resurrected in the final sense, when Jesus appears a second time. This is precisely what the scriptures teach. Jesus said, do not be amazed at this. A time is coming when all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned. I would say the passage that you're talking about is a much disputed passage in Scripture. Some believe that this is only apocalyptic language. Others believe that this is something that actually happened again as a foretaste of what will happen when Jesus, the first fruit of those who are being raised from the dead, will rise from the dead. And then as Christ rose from the dead, we too will one day rise from the dead, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. Lucinda next, listening in Pleasant Hill, California on KDIA. Hi, Lucinda.
Well, heidi ho, Hank. This is a question I really would like to understand. 1 John 2:15 and below, you know, love not the world or the things in the world. I cannot understand how really excellent teacher pastors sell luxury cruises to live on the top deck and pay all the money. But they're selling the Word of God. They're stamping Jesus' name on that. That doesn't make sense to me. I don't think that would make sense biblically to Jesus. Do you think that would make sense?
Well, look, I think that certainly you can have wonderful experiences in this life. I don't think that we want to make our focus those wonderful experiences, because we're looking at something far more glorious and grand than a luxury cruise. However, a luxury cruise can be a wonderful opportunity for people to gather around someone who has really immersed themselves in the Word of God. And therefore, they can learn from that person and grow in grace and knowledge, not only by interacting with that person, asking that person as a teacher questions, but also, I think, in the sense of fellowship with other Christians. And I think cruises are fantastic, quite frankly. I mean, I haven't done many of them. I've done a few of them. I did one to Alaska. I did a Mexican Riviera cruise. I've done other cruises. But these cruises actually were the purpose of teaching, so that we could equip God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ might be built up and strengthened. In the process,
I thought we were supposed to get close to Jesus. Can you really do that on a cruise?
Why not?
On a luxury cruise?
Why not?
Because I don't think people are really into the work, and I think they're into getting dressed and getting their photos taken, because that's what the cruises are mostly about. I don't think it's about praising God in any way, and I think it's a real affront to Jesus. Anyway, I was just wondering about that. Thank you for your comment. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Look, I mean, I have participated even as a spectator, so to speak, on cruises where there's been great teaching of the Word of God. Yeah, I mean, there are opportunity to fellowship and commune with other believers. Cruises are fantastic as far as I'm concerned, because you don't have to pack and unpack. The cruise takes you to different places and you're in the same room. But it's a fantastic opportunity to fellowship with other people. And so I have no problem with the cruises whatsoever. I mean, I think all of us have to be good stewards of our time, our talent, and our treasure. And I think that if those cruises, again, are designed to equip God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up and strengthened, if those cruises are designed such that we might worship God in spirit and in truth, if they're designed so that we can have fellowship with other believers, I don't think that there's anything wrong with a wonderful cruise. And again, I've done them. I've taken people to Alaska. I've taken people to other parts of the world. I've taken people to Israel. And again, the idea behind that is teaching, equipping God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up and strengthened. We're taking your calls live on the broadcast today. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. But I did want to mention a couple of things in this first segment that are so important to the ministry. The first of which is people joining CRI's monthly support team. It is only through those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth that we can not only do broadcasts like the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but that we can 24/7 equip people in places around the world. And so if you have some of the Lord's resources that you would like to invest in this ministry, we would be deeply grateful. Those resources will be used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. You can join CRI's monthly support team by simply going to the web at equip.org. Again, equip.org, or you can call 888-7000, the letters CRI, 888-7000-274. So please, if you can, join CRI's monthly support team. But I also want to mention some resources. I think all too often what happens to Christians is we get involved in, well, the day of Easter and nothing prior to that. In other words, we don't prepare ourselves for Holy Week. In many churches, there's a Lenten celebration, and that celebration involves all kinds of disciplines, including fasting. But the thing that I want to underscore is the equipping that happens through resources that we provide for you, not the least of which is a DVD. It is by Dr. Paul Meyer, and he is an absolutely exquisite teacher. He knows history, biblical history, like few on the planet. I was privileged to write a book, co-author a book called The Da Vinci Code, Fact or Fiction, with him. By the way, you can find that resource on the web at equip.org as well. But the resource that we're featuring is called The Week That Changed the World. It is a tremendous resource to prepare you and yours for yet another Holy Week. It's a riveting cinematic depiction of the Passion of the Christ, demonstrating that life and truth really do matter. We also have available a book that I wrote some time ago. It's called The Third Day. Here's what Lee Strobel said about this book. His endorsement on the back cover says, with laser beam focus, Hank zeroes in on the most convicting facts that back up Jesus' death, his empty tomb, his post-resurrection appearances, and the subsequent transformation of those who encountered him after he rose from the dead. What's more, he answers the so what question. How? By demonstrating the relevance of the resurrection to every individual and even to the cosmos itself. What Lee is talking about there is the universe itself is going to be resurrected, and we too will be resurrected. But if Christ has not risen from the dead, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. And I think this book is relevant because it teaches you in a very simple way how to be able to defend the resurrection of Jesus Christ and then provide the application to others. Again, the resources I just mentioned, The Third Day, The Week That Changed the World, The Da Vinci Code, Fact or Fiction. You can find all these resources on the web at equip.org. They're available for those who support the ministry. We're going to be right back with more answers to your questions in just a moment.
There is one very big problem for agnostics and atheists who dismiss the resurrection of Jesus as sheer scientific impossibility and mythological nonsense. The resurrection actually happened. Professor Paul Meyer's DVD, The Week That Changed the World, gives you the hard, verifiable evidence of history and archaeology on the resurrection. Receive The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Don't go away. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Why did the authorities need Judas to identify Jesus? How could the people who cheered Jesus on Palm Sunday call for his death just a few days later? Why was Pontius Pilate trying hard to avoid sending Jesus to his death? Is there evidence outside the Bible that these events actually happened? In the documentary film on DVD, The Week That Changed the World, Professor of Ancient History Paul Meyer offers compelling answers to questions concerning the events of Holy Week that culminated in Christ's death and resurrection. Dr. Meyer lays out the hard, verifiable facts of history and archaeology. Receive your copy of The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, "Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity." Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. The miraculous resurrection of Jesus did more than reverse the order of sin and death that plagues humanity. It inaugurated a whole new order of being. Yet many believers are ill-equipped to provide persuasive, credible answers to unbelievers who consider the central event of Christianity nothing more than mythological nonsense. Professor Paul Meyer's DVD, The Week That Changed the World, lays out the solid, verifiable evidence of history and archaeology that demonstrates the fact of Christ's resurrection from the dead. Receive The Week That Changed the World as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Mike, listening in Tulsa, Oklahoma, on Bot Radio. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Hank. Listen, I've been a long-time caller, listener of your show, and really respect you. And I just had a quick question. I wanted to get your take or opinion on John Eldridge and Ransomed Heart Ministries and how his teachings square with what the Bible says.
You know, I actually have not followed his ministry as closely as perhaps I should. I did hear him speak in Nashville a couple of weeks ago. It was at a publisher's convention, and I was very, very taken with a message that he gave that particular evening. Two things. One was the manner in which he communicated with, I think, great, great skill, but also with a real sense, I felt, of humility. But he was very accurately depicting how we ought to live with eternity in mind. So the only thing I can say from recent exposure is that particular message, which I thought was absolutely stunning and very impactful.
Okay, well, I really love, I mean, he's written a lot of books, Wild at Heart, just lots of books that he just really speaks to my soul, and I really have never come across anything in his teaching that has caused me to have any pause or the Holy Spirit, check my spirit about it. I just I've kind of followed him for a long time, and I just never heard you talk about him, and so just wondered.
Well, I was very taken with him as a person, I will have to say, and I really enjoyed his message. As I said a couple of weeks ago, as I was sitting in the audience, I had an opportunity to listen to him.
Well, great. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Larry in Tennessee. Larry's listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Larry.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
I know you're coming up on a break, but I got
to ask. Oh, no, I'm not even close to a break. I'm good.
Oh, okay. Well, good. This is the question, age-old question. You've been asked it. But I listened to a guy on Family Talk at Sunday nights, and he was talking about, now I'm saved and I've been baptized. But he said, you have to be baptized in order to be saved. And I just have a problem with that. Because, this guy called in, he said his father was in the hospital. He finally converted him over to Christ. 2 weeks later, he died, and he didn't get baptized. And the guy said, well, he ain't saved. And
yeah, I think the emphasis is really in the wrong spot there. I think the saved are baptized, other than extreme circumstances like what you're alluding to, or another extreme circumstance that we can think of immediately from a biblical standpoint, the thief on the cross. Baptism is not the means by which we are saved, but it is the means by which we are set apart. It is through baptism that we testify that we're no longer our own, that we've been bought by Christ's blood and have been brought into a community of faith. And I think that's why, if you read Acts chapter 2, Peter there is not suggesting that his hearers could not be saved apart from baptism. Rather, he was saying that their genuine repentance would be evidenced by their baptism. So I think what's important is that we do not neglect baptism, that we do not spurn baptism. Baptism, as Paul talks about in Romans chapter 6, is the means by which we are buried to our old life and raised to newness of life through his resurrection power. Therefore, in the new covenant, baptism is a means by which we enter into the kingdom of God. We take up our cross, we daily follow him. We're joined to Christ, and we're through that granted the remission of our sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit to empower us. So baptism is a continual dying to sin as we walk in a newness of life with Christ, as we are raised to new life for communion with God. So again, we shouldn't make this bifurcation between the two. They're both inextricably woven together, one with the other. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Jerry, Salt Lake City, Utah, KUTR. Hi, Jerry.
Hello.
Hi.
I got you?
You got me.
Hey, just listening to that fellow before that you were talking to, it made me think of what Christ said to the Pharisee that came down to him that night, that he could not enter his Father's kingdom only through water and faith. And that's why I've always had the understanding that baptism by immersion with water is not what Christ was talking about. He was talking about the child being in the embryonic fluid, and then after he is born, that he finds his way through the world and becomes a born-again Christian. And, of course, the rest of that says it for itself. Am I wrong?
Yeah, absolutely, you're wrong. And I think that what we ought to do, rather than come up with new and novel theories, is to always test our beliefs in light of Scripture and then hold fast to that which is true. I think what's critical, particularly when we're thinking about baptism, is to recognize that it didn't come out of nowhere. There's an Old Testament, a prelude to what we are celebrating in baptism, what Jesus Christ experienced in baptism. And what Paul is talking about, which I alluded to earlier, when in Romans chapter 6 he talks about being buried to our old life, raised to newness of life through his resurrection. Baptism is our death, it is our burial, it is our resurrection in union with Jesus Christ. And it is given to us by Christ as an entrance into the kingdom of God and into eternal life. So I don't think that what we want to do is come up with neat and novel theories about baptism, but test those theories always in light of Scripture. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to John in California. Hi, John.
Hello, I cannot believe this, Hank. Oh, thank the good Lord. It's my first time ever being on radio. It's awesome. Hey, Hank, the creator of the universe loves us. He is our Father, the creator of the universe. It took me 5 years to grasp that concept. It's amazing. He loves us. He created the sky, the clouds, the grass, the ocean. He put the earth in between two planets, and it is spinning at a million miles an hour as in the perfect access, and if it gets knocked off, it messes the whole weather up. It's just amazing what our Father can do. Hey, the thing that I wanted to ask you was about Ezekiel 13.
Yeah.
Now, this is something that I've struggled with, and that's why I wanted to call. It says God is saying, I am against those that hunt my people's souls. And it says, I'm against the flyaway. Help me.
Yeah. So what's going on here, and this is very reminiscent of the Old Testament prophets. You think about not only Ezekiel 13, but one of the passages that many years ago I memorized was Jeremiah chapter 23, which is a facsimile of what's going on in Isaiah chapter 13. But there are the false prophets that are hunting for the souls of men to lead them into all kinds of heresy. I have heard what the prophets say who prophesy lies in my name. You know, and they think that the dreams they tell one another will make my people forget my name, just as their fathers forgot my name through Baal worship. So this is about the false prophet contrasted to the true prophet. The false prophet does not help my people in the least, says the Lord. The true prophet, however, is the prophet who communicates the words of God. And this is precisely what we should recognize. A true prophet stands in the counsel of the Lord to see or to hear his word. The false prophet communicates the delusions of their own mind, and in that lead God's people astray. That is the idea of hunting for men's souls, not to save them, but rather to destroy them.
Oh, thank you so much. Oh, really quick, in support of you, Hank, you know, you could take people wherever you want and do a Bible study for the Lord. That is a beautiful thing. Some people might choose to stay at home and do a Bible study, but if people have the means to go and with you on a wonderful vacation and enjoy the Bible study, more power to you and more power to the Lord Jesus Christ and his children that he loves. And well, so that lady, I understand her, she has only one avenue she's looking at, which is hers, but there's other people, you know, we don't want to be offensive because we love her, you know, the Lord loves all his kids. But you are a wonderful man doing wonderful things. You learn the scriptures. You're staying strong in the Word, and God bless you for your wonderful show and what the things you do.
God bless your passion. It was enlightening and invigorating. Thank you so much for giving me a call today. I'm so glad you got through. I want to say just a couple of things in terms of testimonies that come in. Jeremy, this is a Facebook testimony. He says, my son just asked Hank a question. While we are riding the car, he decides to ask me the question. Since I didn't quite know the answer or feel like answering the question, I decided to call into Hank and let him ask Hank to respond to his question in an easy way. So thanks, Bible Answer Man broadcast host, for making my son's evening. Another from Sean. I love the fact that you all try to keep the integrity of Scripture while teaching to the masses. Thank you so much for your help. Great job, CRI team. I particularly like that particular testimony because it's talking about the CRI team. Behind the scenes, there's a whole team that make not only this broadcast possible, but also so much more as we reach people not only in the U.S., but around the world. And I mentioned this, I think, in the first segment. We're asking people to stand with this ministry shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. Quite truthfully, we've had some lean months in the beginning of 2017, but God is always faithful. So if God touches you to give, it would be deeply appreciated, used for God's glory and for the extension of his kingdom. Give in a safe, secure fashion, equip.org.
The resurrection of Jesus Christ is without question the most important event in human history. To strengthen your faith and equip you to provide credible answers to family and friends concerning the central event of Christianity, The Christian Research Institute is offering The Week That Changed the World on DVD, featuring historian Paul Meyer. Receive The Week That Changed the World as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return right after the break.
When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity. Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now.
The resurrection is without question the most important event in human history. Why? The resurrection astonishingly did more than miraculously reverse the order of sin and death that plagues humanity. It inaugurated a whole new order of being for us and for the universe. Unfortunately, far too many people, believers and unbelievers alike, fail to grasp the enormous implications of this event. To strengthen your faith and equip you to provide credible answers to questions concerning the death and resurrection of Christ, the Christian Research Institute is offering the documentary film on DVD, The Week That Changed the World, featuring historian Paul Meyer. Receive The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org.
Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer book. Or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. With an unmatched mastery of scripture and history, Professor Paul Meyer discusses and defends the historicity of the events of Holy Week, which culminated in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Receive The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Once again, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let's go right back to our phone calls right after I give you the quote of the day. The quote of the day actually comes from Martin Luther. By the way, Luther, in a sermon some 500 years ago, said, "The veneration of Mary is inscribed in the very depth of the human heart." But the quote that I want to give for the quote of the day actually comes from his Christmas message way back 1531, and it is absolutely fantastic. He said, Mary is nobility, wisdom, and holiness personified. We can never honor her enough. Still, honor and praise must be given to her in such a way as to injure neither Christ nor the Scriptures. Again, the quote of the day from the reformer Martin Luther on the woman of the day, the woman of all ages, the quintessential woman, obviously, Mary. And I love in Christianity that we hold up a woman as the model of what we want to be in Christ. We want to be filled with Christ as Mary was filled with Christ. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Sienna, listening in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hi.
Why did God make people?
Why did God make people? Hi, Sienna.
Hi.
How old are you, before I answer your question?
I am 7.
7? Wow. Well, thanks for calling me. Look, that is probably the best question that anyone's asked me in a long, long time. God made people for fellowship with him. You know, your mom and dad love you. They have you as a child so they can lavish love on you, so that they can have relationship with you. And God created people so that he could lavish his love on them, so that they could have a relationship with him, so that they could worship him and be brought into the very fellowship of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the one true God revealed in three persons, have loved one another for all eternity. And God in his love condescended to create you and I so that we could have a relationship and commune with him. And what's so cool about that, Sienna, is that when we have a relationship with God, then we have the fulfillment that our lives were designed to have, because we were created in the image and likeness of God to have a relationship with him. Now, God did not need us, but what's beautiful about the love relationship is it's not out of need, it is out of God's abundant grace. And just as your mom and dad give you so much in terms of love, and you give that love back to them, you can imagine how great it is to have a love relationship with the one that actually, Sienna, knit you together in your mother's womb. The Bible says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. I think what would be kind of neat is if after this call, you read Psalm 139 together with your mom and dad. I think it will give you a sense of how much God loves you and how great a relationship we can have with God in return. Thanks for calling me, Sienna.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Call me anytime. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Joseph next, listening in Fayetteville, Arkansas on Bot Radio. Hi, Joseph.
Hey, Hank, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Hey, I've got a quick question for you. Going through a study on the Has God Spoken book that you wrote with a friend of mine, and we were in chapter 3 today, and we were talking about the part where you mention the autographs and how if we had the autographs, we would make idols out of those and not, it would go too far. So I'm wondering, I didn't have a great answer for him. He felt that that was a clever excuse to kind of skirt around the truth of why we don't have the original manuscripts and why, in your opinion, that's not as important as having the original autographs. So I was wondering if you could maybe articulate that a little bit better for me as to why you feel that way.
Well,
around the idols and around not needing to have the originals.
Yeah, but it's not one or the other, it's both and, because on the one hand, it is true that I have written and has God spoken that if we had an identifiable autograph or an original, that's what an autograph means, that the actual paper and ink would replace God very likely as the object of our worship. And the rancor of control would be unimaginable. And we would, and I think this is an even more important point, we'd have no assurance that the text was indeed the text. We might well have an autograph enshrined somewhere in the world, like in the Vatican, but we would lack the epistemic certainty of its authenticity. So what do we have instead? Well, that's what I point out in my book. I say that the autographs are forever immortalized within a supernaturally prescribed corpus of manuscripts. So what do we have? Instead of having less than the autographs, we have far more. We have a treasure trove of manuscripts which get us back to the autographs. And no one would ever have had the ecclesiastical authority or power to control that one manuscript, because what happened, and this is the key, the New Testament books were written at various times. They were copied rapidly. They were distributed as soon as they were written, and there was never a time, therefore, that anyone could gather up these manuscripts and make alterations in the manuscript, in the text of the manuscript, by cutting out some essential of the Christian faith or whatever. Instead, what we have is these manuscripts that now appear, and what we can do is compare them. So they are copies of the originals, and they're very close to the originals. Now we have this whole corpus of manuscripts. They all have errors, but they don't have the same errors, and none of them has substantial errors. So when you compare manuscript with manuscript, what happens is you get back to the autograph. So God has preserved the autograph within a treasure trove of manuscripts. That's the whole point.
Okay, that's great. Thank you, Hank.
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. I mean, there's so many calls coming in from all over the world. I'm kind of tempted to stay here for an extra hour once we go off the air. So if you want to hang on, I'll probably hang on as well. Let's talk to Terry next in Charlotte, North Carolina, listening on the web. Hi, Terry.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
I'm calling because I've been talking with my friends and even strangers, and we've been talking about righteousness. We recognize that God imputes righteousness to us through Jesus. But my question is, does that mean that we don't ask for forgiveness when we do sin because we are declared as righteousness before God, or... Is that righteousness a practical righteousness, or is it just a righteousness? Or maybe just explain the whole scope of righteousness.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it is an egregious error, and unfortunately one that has permeated the church in modern times, not to confess our sins, because we are called to confess our sins. And the beauty is, when we confess our sins, we immediately recognize that He is faithful and just. He will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So it is axiomatic for us to continually confess our sins before God. And this is something that I take great joy in, quite frankly. And I can say this with all integrity. There's not a time that goes by that I do the show that I do not first confess my sins before the Lord. And sometimes I do it by simply saying, Lord, I know You're faithful and just and will forgive my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And sometimes I do it by quoting in my head what David said in Psalm 51, have mercy on me, O God, according to Your unfailing love, according to Your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgression. My sin is ever before me. It's a recognition that I'm a needy sinner in the face of a righteous and holy God. And yes, I have been saved by God's grace through faith on account of Jesus Christ, but while I am positionally reckoned righteous, I am still a sinner. I sin every day. And because of that, I have to confess those sins. Not only have to, but I have the privilege of going into the throne room of God and confessing my sins. In fact, confession used to be a part of the church. You know, and in many ways, it got shanghaied, as it were. In medieval times, by corrupt priests, where people no longer felt as though they could go into a confession in a safe way. In modern times, by caricatures of confession, but confession is a very significant part of being inextricably woven into the fabric of a community of faith. So I think one of the great errors that we have in the modern epoch is the error of a failure to confess our sins. And now people are saying that it is an abomination to confess your sin. It is like spitting in the eye of God. We have all these teachers on radio and television telling multitudes of people this. We actually did an article in Christian Research Journal rebutting this because it is a very, very serious error. I'm going to leave it at that because there are a lot of people hanging on, and obviously we're just about out of time. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour once we go off the air, continue taking your calls. So if you are hanging on, please be patient. There'll be a short break, and then I'll start taking your calls. I'll record my answers to your calls, and I'll play that on a future edition of the Bible Instrument broadcast when I'm traveling. Now, if you're listening into my voice right now and you have a question, feel free to call me at 888-ASK-HANK. You can call that number now and for the next hour, and I will try to get to everyone that calls in. 888-ASK-HANK for the next hour. So you can start calling right now, 888-ASK-HANK. And as we close out the broadcast, a reminder that we do what we do because life and truth really do matter. They don't only matter in time, they matter for all eternity. And we're asking people, therefore, to stand with this ministry shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. If you can give to this ministry, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. You can also give on our app, our CRI Equip app. You can download it for free by going to equip.org/app. Out of time for the live edition, but I'll stay here for an extra hour. Call 888-ASK-HANK.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. To make a gift that can transform lives, and as our thanks, receive the DVD, The Week That Changed the World, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit us online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity. Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Why did the authorities need Judas to identify Jesus? How could the people who cheered Jesus on Palm Sunday call for his death just a few days later? Why was Pontius Pilate trying hard to avoid sending Jesus to his death? Is there evidence outside the Bible that these events actually happened?
In the documentary film on DVD, The Week That Changed the World, Professor of Ancient History Paul Meyer offers compelling answers to questions concerning the events of Holy Week that culminated in Christ's death and resurrection. Dr. Meyer lays out the hard, verifiable facts of history and archaeology. Receive your copy of The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org.